Welcome back to the Journey Podcast. This is Emma Jackson.
I'm and that Jose... is Jose Escalera.
Ooh, I like this. Hey, you ever thought, like, why is it so hard sometimes to scale your business or scale a business?
Yes, I think about that literally all the time.
Right now,
because I have big plans. We have big plans. And all I can think about is how that consultant was like, cool, awesome, to reach your, like, ridiculously big plans, which we are going to reach. He was like, okay, you only need 99.7% growth. And I was like, great, only. I love it. He was like, only.
Yeah.
So then I've been thinking about it.
He had a way to, like, make it seem, like, make that mountain seem
super realistic. Yeah. But I think that's because you start out. I love that both of us were like, yeah, let's start here. Like, this is our goal. What? And he's then like, he was like, no, your goal should be here. And then by the end of the conversation, like, our goal was, like, here. Like,
damn.
And it made sense, though.
Yeah. I mean, 30 million in 5 years. That's
30 million in 5 years, baby.
Whee!
But what's cool is that I think it is so important to take time to come up with the most ridiculous goals and then work your way backwards until all of a sudden you're like, that's actually not so ridiculous.
Yo,
you know?
Are you down to share what we're actually building in the 5-year plan? It's like,
yeah.
So this episode, we were going to talk about scaling different businesses. And I'm looking through our session notes. Yes, people, we have session notes. And
what is it? Loves to go off episode, like off note. That's his favorite thing in the world. It's a good thing that I did improv in high school, and I am so prepared for competitive.
Emma,
nationwide. Let's be real.
Let's be real. Emma Jackson is very freaking talented at public speaking. I mean, yesterday, the episode you guys are going to see in a couple of weeks, oh my gosh, she did a phenomenal job. And there's been episodes I'm just so quiet because I'm just, like, amazed at the show that's happening in front of me.
No. It's because he's bored and doesn't want to participate.
No, facts. but no, so we need to talk about scaling your business. Let's talk about our business. We hired a consultant to help us achieve the next level. Why?
The most brilliant, I will say. Oh, okay.
I want to say we hired him because, like any other business owners, we get to a point that we hit that million, we keep repeating the same mistakes, we can't break
that. We feel like we're close, like so close to unlocking the next level.
Or massive potential.
Yes, right? But we felt like there's something that we are missing. And thank goodness, both of us know that there's so much we don't know. And that we're really open to having other people come in and,
one thing I realized is that we said, yo, we don't know how to do something, but when you think about it, right? We had he gave us a beautiful, like, workbook to, like, track our progression and growth over the quarter, right? A lot of the tasks that we have to do is basic reorganization tasks that we've done so many different times, but this time we're doing it with just a little bit more intentionality.
Yes, and follow through.
Which is making such a great impact.
Yeah.
And I don't think I realize sometimes, like, we know what to do, but sometimes we need the outside perspective to just, like, nudge us in the right direction.
And then put the pieces in the right order, I think.
Exactly.
Too. Okay, so let's dive into then. Something he said a lot was like, hey, you can take this content that you're paying for. We're paying, like, a lot of money, thousands and thousands of dollars.
Stupid, a lot
of
money.
For this.
Actually, I regret that. It's not stupid.
It's not stupid. It's actually probably the smartest investment we've ever made. I'm completely honest.
Yeah.
And he said, take this knowledge, do with it what you will, share it with your clients, share it with you. And we were like, why don't we talk to you guys about it so you don't have to spend tens of thousands of dollars on consulting, but you can also get similar results. And our first session that we did was like 4 hours long. But I think the most impactful thing was the 5-year planning.
100%. I think me and you have never really sat down and had a 5-year plan. We had, I think, up to 2 years is the longest we ever did.
Yeah, but, like, super vague 2 years. Yeah, and the way he planned it out was so much interest. Like,
yeah, we planned 6 months really, really detailed. And then after 6 months, because we're like, we don't know what's going to happen.
And we always started out with, where do we want to be in the next 6 months? And then, we always went from here to this.
It was,
and
like, sprints.
And then he was backwards. Like, he went backwards in time. So let's start out with, before we even walked into the room, we had these surveys to take. And do you know how long they were? I was so tired the night before. And I was like, I really should not have waited till the last minute. And I remember, like, they kept going. They kept going. And it was all these questions about my personal life. My personal values.
Wait, let's clarify that. There's, like, We did like three different ones.
And then there was one that was all about my business life and my business values. And the reason is because he made a very good point. He was like, you're in business to improve your life, to like, because like to make money, to live the life you want, like, you know, all of these things. He's like, you're not, yes, you love the business, but like there should be an outcome that benefits you. Mm-hmm. You should, I don't care how successful your business is. If you hate your life, you've wasted your time, right?
Correct. 100%.
And so we get in the room and he's like, 5 years from now, he started, the first question I think was, how much do you want to be working on the business?
Yeah, that was an interesting question. When I thought about it, I'm like, okay, I know I want to be around like 10 to 20 hours, but...
You know what's interesting is both of us said what we thought was like, oh, we're not, you know, we're not going to be working very much. You said, yeah, like 5 years, you know, 20 to 30 hours a week. And he goes, you guys like to work a lot. And we were like, that's so much less than we're working now. Yes, we have a little friend who can stay here. That's totally fine. But we were essentially thinking... We were thinking, oh, yeah, gosh, working half-time, like 20 hours a week, that's vacation mode. He's like, you guys like to work a lot, which was so – I was like, huh, maybe other people have different ideas. But I guess we do. I feel so much better when I have a structure and a direction of where I'm going. It's fun for me, I think, definitely for you too. So that was the first question. What else did he ask in that five-year section?
Work-life balance when it comes to our personal relationships. For you, it's like – I know you said by 5 years from now, I want to have at least have one kid. You want to have a house.
Yeah, I got a biological timeline, which is all the women out there. I know our audience is predominantly men. That will change. I will work on it. I think it needs to be a little more balanced. But the thing that sucks.
This industry is dominated by females.
That's true.
more balanced than you would get.
But it sucks to be a woman and that's really ambitious and to feel like, dang it, I want to meet all these goals and I want to do all these things, but I also know I want to have kids. And that just happens typically the apex of your career or your money making time and your energy. Like I think you make money a lot later in life, but your energy to like work really hard and grind, that tends to coincide with the prime years of having a kid. So I was like in panic mode for the past, year or two about how does this happen? How does this work? And he basically was like, you just build it into the plan, right? So we figured out, you know, did we want to have houses? Did we want to have real estate?
The beautiful thing, I would say this, the beautiful thing, and I want to, he did such a great job of marinating both the professional life and the personal life. For example, he's like, hey, the company needs to buy assets, but you also need to buy assets. If you're investing 20 hours of time in this department, you need to invest equally amount of time in this department.
Yeah.
Like, for example, you and your significant other, your relationship, it's just as equally important to the business success as the business success is equally to your relationship.
And he was like, the quickest way to burn out is by completely neglecting everything, like all of your personal goals and values.
Exactly.
And so he was like, if you want this business to reach these high goals, you're going to have to take care of yourself, which, you know, just hearing that in that context was helpful.
Ooh,
I think this is so, so, so important too, is this question was super interesting. He said, okay, what's your exit strategy? Do you remember this?
Yes.
And your response was,
I don't want to sell.
There is no exit strategy. I want to hold on to life because your goal is to build a legacy business. Tell me, like, in short.
Honestly, being digital is Vivian Martinez, my mom's name. I want to create, I'm Latino. Latinos don't really have family houses. So I want to create a family house. And he was like, you can create that from your holding company.
And he said, very specifically, he said, at first, all you said was, oh, I just want to hold on to it forever. And, you know, I don't want to exit. And he said, I hate to break it to you. You either exit or you get too old and you die and the company goes away. He said, there are no generational businesses nowadays. That's just a myth. It just hardly ever happens. And if it does, he said, your kids are going to mess up the business. And it was, and he said it in the nicest way possible. And so when Jose was like, no, but these are my dreams and goals. He said, you do that from your holding company, but you have to set this company up. No matter how much you love it, you have to set the Idea Farm and VM Digital up. Well, not
for sale.
For sale. So what does that exit look like? And then he actually broke down numbers a lot of times you don't think about an exit. And then when you think about it, you don't think about that. Okay, say the business makes $20 million.
You can, like, give him a crash course evaluation of a business right now?
Well, I'm this is exactly kind of what he did for us. So he was like, okay, so say your business is worth $20 million, which actually would mean you make like a few million dollars a year, whatever. We're not going to talk about valuation, but say you sell your business for $20 million. That's not $20 million in your pocket. First off, there's two of us.
That's $10 million piece.
Yeah, but then it's not $10 million because there are so taxes. Many taxes and fees. And we did the math, and by the time it comes down, we would each get
$6 million.
Like $6 million each. And that's not nearly as much as it seems, and may or may not be enough to support your goals or all of the years of, you know, of work that you put into it. But it was just breaking it down like that to see, A, you need to have an end goal in sight.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said,
you need to talk. I love how passionate you are about this.
No, I am, because it just, it opened the doors so much. He said, you're especially with business partners, he said, you have to have an end goal in sight, and you both have to have an agreed upon number that you feel comfortable walking away from the table, right? So that when someone down the line, it may be earlier than you expect, if someone offers to buy your business,
you're ready to sell.
You are, and you're both aligned. He said the worst possible thing is when one of you wants to take that deal and the other one doesn't. So making sure that your North Star, while we're right here, we have the same North Star, so that when that opportunity arises, we're actually able to make a decision that's in the best interest of both of us.
Exactly. So that was the 5-year. And the cool thing about the 5 years, we gave a small number for revenue, right? Because we were just estimating, like, based off our current revenue, this is our revenue going to be. It's like, cool, so we're going to come back to that. He went to the 3-year mark. Okay, it's like, Emma, if you already have, by 5 years, you want our kid, means you have to get married by year 3. Jose, if you want that beach house, you need to be working at year 3 for this mark. We came up with those goals for year 3, and we went back to this year, like 2024. What are we going to accomplish this year?
Oh, no, okay. So here's what and we basically had said, we had worked backwards, and we were just like, yeah, like year 3, basic, like we were kind of already thinking, not even working backwards. We're like, if we get to, you know, 20 million by year 5, then by year 3, we could do like 10 million. Yeah, that feels reasonable. And then we went back to like year 2, and I was like, okay, like we could do 3 million. He said, if you're going from 3 million to 10 million in a year, you better be going from more than 10 to 20 in 2 years. And it was just one of those.
It was funny to us because we have never realized the leaps and bounds we have done in the last couple of years. Like, we went from making X, then we.
Because these numbers seem so big to us, like when you're talking about millions and then tens of millions. But he was like, oh, once you get to 10 million, it's so, you know.
Yeah,
once,
but like, it was not even the money. He was highlighting, like, hey, you've done this before. You have multiplied your business 3-4 times already, right?
Yes.
You already have the systems in place, and you have a system.
You can keep that growth up, and then all of a sudden those numbers seem exponentially larger, but that growth metric hasn't changed.
Exactly.
So it feels doable.
So that being stated, I think the biggest takeaway from that whole experience, to scaling our business, it's 2-factor for us. Number one is creating an independent team. My personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
2, creating a system of accountability for that independent team.
Okay, yes. So we did our 5-year plan. We have our monetary goals. We have our personal goals. And then he starts to dig into specifically, like, in each section, well, actually, he started, I think, in year 3 and then to year 1 because it was 5 years, a little too much out. But he basically said, what do you need to make this happen? So if we want to work less on the business, if we want to, oh, and my year 3, for example, was traveling to international conferences, doing more public speaking engagements. Jose's was, you know, getting involved in different kinds of business, like all sorts of cool stuff, right?
Was that? Yeah.
Mergers and acquisitions. M&A. And he said, cool, what do you guys need from your team to make that happen?
I need Casey to become the best producer on the planet.
Well, that's shared use. No, that's where we came to those values or those qualities. So having an independent team, making sure that we are not linchpins in the business.
Yeah, I want to highlight that. Listen, at the end of the day, to scale the business, the biggest obstacle that is going to be presented to you for scaling that business is yourself. As the owner.
Yeah, I have noticed that a lot.
For example, like, we get so stuck in our ways. Like, this is how it's always been done. I know best. All those metrics, like, even from I would say even from your peers. When I see peers of people surrounding you, like my friends don't understand I'm a business owner. Well, they know I'm a business owner, but they don't understand my challenges. Mm-hmm. My friend sees like, hey, my job, I have to do this. But they don't realize as business owners, we wear two hats. We wear the employee hat. We wear the business partner hat.
Something that I think was super helpful and exercise that the consultant had us do was track our time for a week. And then highlight not just how much time you're spending on things, but specifically how much time are you spending in the business and how much time are you spending on the business? Because, for example, I think the biggest thing stopping me from helping to grow the business was that I have been focused on the inside the business work. So working with clients, working with our team members, working on the day to day instead of looking ahead to the future. And it's really, really hard to look into the future to build the business, right? To work on the business when you are working in the business. And so he basically said that you need to have serious dedicated time, both of you, right now as you scale. You kind of may have to work in and on the business. You have to have that employee hat, right? And the business owner hat. But the more you scale, you're going to have to become the on the business person, not the in the business person.
And then one thing I would love to say is that right now, we have that mentality. We have to be in the business. But 3 years from now, that mentality has to be out the door.
He said by year three, like, yeah, you're on the business entirely.
Yeah. For example, for you, you want to be more growth strategies and new business acquisitions, right?
Yeah.
So you're more like on a whole different department. You're more external, trying to make partnerships, trying to bring
and the... And everything is for the future, right? So we're planting seeds that are going to flourish in the future. And we have then, at that point, like a super capable team to manage all of the day-to-day that might happen.
Casey be the big boss. She'd be like... No, but honestly, I think what I was trying to say is that for growth, that self-realization that sometimes you do have to take the L, understand that, like, we're talking about the episode we just had, the trials and tribulations, the growth, the pain and suffering. For the first, like, 3 years of any business and you're trying to scale that, right, I think understanding that the people around you that don't understand that you're wearing two hats, they're trying to compare your workload to their personal workload because in their job, it's 9 to 5, they clock in and clock out. But your job is like, yeah, you have your 9 to 5, but then you go home and you're researching, educating, strategizing. For us, it's more, I think for business owners, not saying employees don't do this, but business owner, there's a part of self-development that has to be maintained. For example, mm-hmm. our knowledge level on any particular subject can't just stay stagnated. Mm-hmm. We have to continue elevating that for two major reasons. One, overall revenue for the business. And two, overall team development, right? Yeah. So each department, like, for example, I know how to edit. But if you put Casey and myself editing-wise, she will kick my ass. Mm-hmm. But you put me and Casey in a conversation about an editing project, I can hold my own. We have an intelligent conversation.
And you're continuing to educate yourself on new techniques, different ways, so that you're coming in and being like, hey, there might be a way we can do this better. Can you take a look at this?
Yeah. One example of that is like we have, we're flirting with switching our editing software. And mm-hmm. I was like, hey, listen, I don't really know the other editing software. Let's do an experiment. You give me your feedback and I'll look into a couple of things so we can have a more educated conversation. Also understanding the capabilities of like letting people run with ideas. And understanding that you can't be the one always controlling that. And especially in the beginning of a business, you feel like you have to control it because you're the one developing the systems and operations, SOPs, mm-hmm. KPIs. But really seeing by the year two, year three, your team members know more than you.
Okay, something that has been in my mind a lot since we're talking about the consultant, scaling our business, five-year plan, all of that, is that's been weighing heavily on my mind is...
In your mind or your heart?
Both. Is having... The importance of having perspective and the role that experience and perspective plays in your ability to be a successful business owner.
The biggest thing is I think you always showing the characteristics over the years to know we need an outside perspective to help us grow.
Well, I guess the point that I was trying to make was that I just now feel I'm 27 and I have been... I'm not 28, I'm 27. And I have been in the business world for about 5 years now. And I never, ever before that had anything to do with business. It was nonprofit, policy, government, that kind of thing. So it was a huge change. And I did not have a traditional corporate job. And at first I was like, heck yeah, corporate sucks. You know, like I'm so glad I'm creative. I'm an entrepreneur. And it is only now at this stage of my life that I wish so desperately that I had actually had a normal job that I could have learned and understood how things kind of progressed, because there's skills and development that happen in the first 5 to 10 years of your career that I think give you that perspective, right? That make it easier for you to see things, to implement the things we're learning now. And I've shared with you and, you know, with our consultant, I feel like I have a lot of catching up to do. And I'm learning and I'm self-educating and I have a lot of like talent, sure, but there's a reason that you don't see many 22-year-olds running businesses, right? And I saw this great TikTok that I shared with you
last night
talking about young leaders and how it's just really hard because it's your age means you literally do not have the experience. And the most successful young leaders have had someone more experienced or lots of more experienced people to guide them where they need to go. Like, for example, Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg. And they listen. And this consultant comes in and he's got years on both of us. And I heard someone recently that said he should not hire, like, if you're going to have a consultant run, like, to scale your business, they need to be at least twice your age, you know?
He is literally twice your age.
And to have that much, experience.
He's not twice your age. He's close.
Twice my age.
He's twice your age.
He's twice my age. And, but what that does is he has this long, illustrious career, and he has seen what's worked and what hasn't and this and that, and then is able to identify so much faster than we could. You know, so he adds that experience element, at least for me.
Do you feel like me having that corporate experience helped? Like, is it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We've talked about this. Like, I will call myself out. I am a brilliant creative. Give me UX, UI or writing or, you know, websites or talking or any of that. Yes. But if Jose's like, build me an SOP, you know, at the very beginning, I was like, cool. And I wrote it out. And he was like, yeah, but you missed all of the detail, you know? And I just, when you've never done something like that, when you've never really experienced it for yourself or understand how management structures work or check-in meetings, or like you had to fire people, you had to hire people, you got to go through so many different things throughout your kind of corporate journey that I had never experienced. I was doing for the first time. So you had a lot of perspective.
What's one advice you give people from your perspective? Interesting.
About what?
Because about like, so you started a business. If I remember, your age was like 24.
No, I was 22 when 22 I took over my dad's business.
Yeah, so 22, you're 27, you got 5 years now. If you can go back to your 22s, what's one piece of advice you would give other than hire a consultant?
That it's okay.
I see the emotions coming out of you.
No, you don't have to know everything. In fact, you should not know everything at your age. And you should absolutely have some people come in to take over leadership on certain aspects. And it's okay for me to say I have a vision for the company. I'm really good at aligning the brand or the delivery or whatever, but I need help with X or Y, and genuinely let those people come in and do their jobs and just make sure that we're staying true to like the vision and the mission. And I wasn't comfortable with that yet because I thought it questioned my ability as a leader. And as I've gotten older, I have realized that truly the best leaders, and you've in part taught me this, they step aside and they can let other people take the lead when it's areas that they're deficient in or just need to learn in. And once again, the overall theme being that is normal. There is never going to be a point in your life in which you know everything unless you're the Buddha.
How else you learn? Come on.
I think it's just that mentality of when you are 22 and you want to take on the world. And you believe you're so capable, you're so confident. And, you know, the whole old people, like, you know, they don't know what's new. You know, there's such a perspective of like, oh yeah, they have been around the block. And yes, there's new technology. And yes, there's new trends and all of that. And you're really, as a young person, you're really attuned to seeing the trends, to seeing the energy and what's happening. But we also exist in cycles. And people who've been around for longer have just seen those cycles happen and they can absolutely help. So it's just the listen to other people.
Facts. If you think about cycles, right? Last comment. I promise, guys, last comment. would be is like there was a great video. I love economy, right? I like money. The pattern of Bitcoin the last 10 years and the cycles of like the growth and the dip, the growth and the dip. People are calculating so well nowadays because it's like repeatable. Mm-hmm. It's consistency. The fashion cycles over the years coming the baggy mm-hmm. style back when I was a teenager, now it's coming back in style. It's a little bit different than when I was a kid, no tall tees.
You recognize it.
You recognize it.
Yeah.
Same thing with business. We have our ups and downs. We have our, I think it's called 5-year success cycle in business. And there's a stage of like development, growth, implementation, execution, and it kind of goes right back, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a full, in the Army, there's a deployment cycle, right? You have your training cycle, then you have your education, training, deployment, I forgot the whole cycle. But there's always somebody that can help you recognize that. And at a young age, I think for me, is be honest with you, I think it wasn't letting myself be educated by older people. It was more like I always thought old people were so slow and they couldn't move fast enough.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, I came from, so I was like, yeah, they're not in touch with, like, I need to move 100 miles an hour. They're probably moving slow because they're like, I see all those steps you're about to make.
Mm-hmm.
Those mistakes.
And the one thing is, like, the slower you move in business, sometimes the faster you execute. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so true. It's like we see it when we're young, at 22, 23 years old, we see, like, this person, it's moving so slow, but the reality is like I'm cutting out 17 different steps that you have to go through by just taking a second, pausing, making one pivotal change, and just doing nothing and let the market correct itself.
Yeah, that's wisdom.
Well, guys, this has been another great episode of the Journey Podcast. If you like content like this, follow Emma Jackson because she's going to be a public speaker conquering the world one day. I'm going to be an internal little what's the turtles that kind of go into their shell, like hermit?
Okay, no, follow us on the journey. Follow along at our journey, and we want to highlight yours. So if you think you have a great story worth telling, and especially if you're in Houston, comment down below. We'd love to hear from you.